Welcome to the Connection Point Podcast through the ministry of First Southern Baptist Church, Salina, Kansas, where we aim to connect you to God, to others, and to the church. Hey, listeners, welcome to episode 5 of the Connection Point Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Ball. It is good to be with you guys. And I am super excited. And you might be asking, why in the world are you excited? And I am excited because within this podcast, we are launching a new worship series that we are completely stoked about. And so each episode, what we're going to do is we're going to introduce a word to you, whether it's a theological word or a word in the Bible. We're going to bring a word to you that's going to expound on doctrine or our Christian beliefs or something that points to the work and person of Christ. And we're going to break down that word on what that really means and how that points to God himself and how that drives us to worship. So we are really looking forward to that. One of the things that you're going to notice is every word that we bring you is going to end with the letters I-O-N. And we know that's a suffix that comes at the end of the word. And, you know, everything has their thing. Like Subway's thing is you get to eat fresh. And our church, along with probably others, our thing is to know Christ and to make him known. So a thing for this podcast is that every word that we present to you ends in I-O-N. But that's not just without purpose either. Like we know that I-O-N, it's a suffix, it comes from Latin, but what it does is it denotes an action or a condition, and when you combine that ending, I-O-N, with English words, you get some pretty cool words. And it's appropriate as where the suffix denotes an action or a condition, the words that we're giving you guys, they are pointing to the actions of Christ and or the person of the triune God. So it's got some function in that, but we thought that was something neat, and hopefully it grabs you guys and gets you to listening. And some of the words you might not have ever heard about them, you might not be familiar with some of the words that we are going to bring to you, but again, we'll break those down, and our goal is at the end that we have pointed you to Christ and to his work. So here's the goal and prayer of our heart as we launch this new worship episode series, is that each episode will stir the affections of your heart for God in just a powerful way. These sessions will draw us, you and I both, into an increased love for him, an increased worship towards him, just an awe and wonder of who he is. And we're going to give you solid pillars for correct biblical thinking and doctrine. And not every word that we present to you will be easy. And as a matter of fact, there may be some words that we bring to the table that are going to cause some debates and discussions with guest speakers that I'll be bringing in. But again, all of that, we want to help you grow in your love for God. For example, the word election, right? You guys have heard about that, a controversial word. We will get to that. It's a beautiful word. But we're not going to do that today because I want to keep you guys with us. So you're going to have to keep listening till we get to that word election. But in the meantime, we've got so many great words that we want to go over with you and just break them apart and see God and his work and let it drive us to worship. If you guys remember, the goal of this podcast is to connect you to God, others, and the church. That's why this podcast is called the Connection Point Podcast. And what we're doing with this worship series is we are focusing on connecting to God, both in worship and knowledge, but we're also connecting you to the church. And we can tell you from the perspective of First Southern Baptist Church, Salina, Kansas, that the words that we will be giving you and the doctrines and the soundness of them, the biblical truths, all of what we're going to go through, our church unashamedly holds the truth in those, and these are truths that we would willingly lay down our lives for. So not only will you see God, you'll also see the heart of our church and sound biblical doctrine and teaching. So since this is the first episode of this series, it's a great opportunity to begin with the very beginning. So why not take the very first word that we need to in this biblical narrative and talk about creation? So that's our word today, creation. We're going to talk about what we believe about God and his creation. And it's important for you guys to realize that there, as we look at the biblical account of creation, as we look at the creation account of Israel and God's people, there's an argument that the biblical creation story is borrowed from earlier near ancient Eastern cultures and texts. so that the creation account of the Bible is not original, that it's been borrowed, maybe even bits and pieces from different ancient Eastern places and brought together. And while there can be some similarities between the biblical account of God and others, we hold fast that the biblical account of creation is the only true account, and it separates our God as the one and only true God and separates Christianity from the rest of the world. Right? So we get to Genesis 1:1. This is the very first verse in the Bible. And right away, God is established as the one and only true God, but not when there's no one even close to his equal. Right? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. And the expository's commentary written by Barker and Kohlenberger, they put it like this, that Genesis 1:1, this verse affirms that God alone is eternal and that all else owes its origin and existence to him. And when we talk about creation and our God, the creator, that is what we absolutely affirm. God alone is eternal, no one else, and that every single thing else in this world, everything owes its origin and existence to him. Guys, this should completely floor us. Like, if that doesn't drive us to worship, then I think there's something wrong with us. Do we realize that no one compares to our God? There's no one like him. There's never going to be anyone like him. There is no one who can compare. And perhaps only a few out of the billions and billions of people, trying to put this in perspective, maybe there's only a few that acknowledge our God as God now. We know that Philippians 2:10 and 11 writes that eventually all creation will confess that God is Father, that our God is God to the glory of him. It's going to happen. And this only happens because our God is the one and only true creator, and we are living in his creation and no one else's. We're not living in a creation of other gods or idols or deities. We are living in the creation of Elohim, God Almighty, the God of Israel, the God of true Israel, both Jews and Gentiles who have professed faith in him and made him Lord. That is the creation in which we live. And this is foundational for our faith, and it's a pillar of our confession that Yahweh, our God, is the one and only true creator God. Now, the Old Testament is full of examples of God proving himself as the one true God against all false idols that people worshiped. We see that, and we see that in these competitions, if you want to call them competitions, they're not really competitions because there's no real competition, but in those, God always proves himself as God. And the idols and deities of the Old Testament are smashed and completely discredited. And the creation account here in Genesis 1 and 2 is a part of that competition, that God is setting himself apart at the one true God. This might be the biggest proof of God in this battle against idols in the Old Testament. There's a lot of big ones. And God wins every time. So if the world wants to discount our God and the biblical account of creation, and they want to bring in other factors, I say let's let the evidence come and let's put them in the ring and let's fight for truth. We'll stand behind our God and we'll let anybody come against him. Like, that's fine. Go ahead and do that. You're only going to prove our God to be God. So we have confidence in that. So our God, Yahweh, is the one true creator. And again, we are his creation, you and I, and we dwell in his creation. But if they want to come and box with us, let's do that. So with the argument that the biblical account of creation is borrowed from previous Near Eastern ancient texts, let's put them together and let's see who the real God is. So the first thing, and this is the biggest thing for us as Christians, number one, don't miss this. Our God created the universe ex nihilo. And that is huge for us. And what does that mean? It means out of nothing. So our God created the universe in its entirety out of nothing. He did not use pre-existing materials, and he did not simply construct already there resources into something tangible. What he created, the whole universe, everything in it, he created from nothing, meaning that the very matter that everything is made out of, God created that. He created all of that and he arranged it. And the puny deities and gods of that area, they cannot make that claim. It's not even close. And by the way, my information today, I'm getting a lot of it out of the IVP dictionary of the Old Testament Pentateuch. So it's an actual book that I've been studying in. I can get that to you, that resource, if you're wanting more on this. But the first thing is that God created the universe ex nihilo, created out of nothing. And he is the only God that can claim that. And we can look at the gods of Egypt and Mesopotamia. And you look at even their greatest gods and their creation accounts, the ones that we supposedly borrowed from, don't begin or start with nothing. Like their creation accounts start with something already there. And when these accounts from Egypt and Mesopotamia and all these other places, when it says that their gods or deities gave things their existence, they mean that these gods took pre-existing material that had no order, function, or purpose, and they put them into order. So basically, there were things that were there before, serving no purpose, and these gods arranged them and gave them function. Okay, sure, to be able to establish order in something that didn't have order, that's great. That's a pretty big accomplishment. Like, I'll concede to that if those gods were real and truly did that. That's great. But it doesn't compare to the creation account of our God who created everything ex nihilo. Like these major gods of the ancient East took pre-existing things and made something according to those accounts. Oh, not our God, friends. Our God as the creator created out of nothing. So at best, the ancient gods and deities, at best, they assigned roles to previous matter. I mean, that's as high as you can get. That's as high as you can concede to their power if that was indeed true. But God didn't just arrange and assign roles of all that has existed. He made them out of nothing. And then after making them, he gave them order and function and arranged them. No one compares to our God. The biblical creation story is so much taller and truer and wider than any of the other accounts given. So number two, let's look at the origin of Middle Eastern gods compared to our eternal God. Again, huge discrepancies here. Our God, Yahweh, has no beginning. He was, he is, and he will always be. He has always existed, and he owes no one credit for his existence or being. And so when we do see in Genesis 1:1 that says, in the beginning God created, it's not talking about the beginning being his first day as a being or God. It's not saying like the first day that God existed, he did those things. When it says in the beginning, what it's talking about is in the beginning of the Christian narrative of God and his people, the very beginning spot of that starts with the all eternal, always existing God of the universe creating the world. So God has been eternal. But the Egyptian gods and the Middle East gods, they can't compare to that, can they? Even the greatest gods of Egypt had a beginning. For example, there's a mighty Egyptian god named Amun. I don't know, A-M-U-N. I don't know how to say that name. I don't care. It doesn't matter. He's not a god, so we don't have to really worry about that. But this god, supposedly a mighty Egyptian god, Amun, who is said to have existed before everything, he actually, the account of creation is that he emerged from the waters. So obviously he did not exist before anything. Water beat him, right? It's just the mightiest god of Egypt, but water beat him to the punch. I don't think we have an all-eternal god in Amun, or however you say his name, right? And even more than that, where our God is the one who does it all, the creating, the forming, the arranging, the giving order and function. Where our God can do it all. The gods of the Middle East had many different gods to fulfill different roles. Like if we look at Egypt itself, the creator God, whoever that is, through his own bodily emissions, created and filled the ranks of other deities that would represent different elements of the universe. So where this supposed creator God couldn't do all that needed to be done, he made other deities to fill those roles. So basically it's a self-developing God. And in Babylonian literature, there was different gods that coexisted. There was a flock god and a cattle god or a pasture god. There's all these different gods fulfilling different roles. And our God is the one and only true God, not needing a bunch of lesser deities to carry out functions and to do what needs to be done. Friends, the God of Israel, our God, is not a self-developing God, nor did he emerge from existing primal elements. He has always been God, and he will always be God. And he is the fullness of God and needs nobody else to help him in his business. Again, proof that our God separates from the pack. There's no one like him. Number three, our God created out of order, where the gods of ancient Eastern literature created out of chaos. And this is actually really important. Think about this. Our God created everything so effortlessly, right? It was by the power of his spoken words that created everything. By his word, we were given our being. And there's a beautiful order to this, a beautiful effortlessness to this. But according to ancient Eastern literature, the organizing of elements came through theomachy. And what that means is battle between other gods. Like that's how their creation stories come about, that creation and order was brought out of chaos, that in these fights between these different gods who were fighting for either lost or taken authority, they are fighting to regain their status, whatever it is, there's all these battles between the gods trying to fight for the one true God and trying to get their authority and status back. And out of all this warring and chaos came the order of creation. So you see a starkly different picture where our God created out of order with just the words of his mouth, where all these other deity and worthless idols were trying to gain status and power, and somehow creation came out of that. Somehow order came out of chaos. It doesn't work that way. And guys, our God has never surrendered or lost his authority, and he never has to regain that. Since he alone is the creator of all things, he has established himself as the one true God. So when people argue that our God and our creation story is not true, or it's fictional, or it's just borrowed from previous literature that predates the stuff of the Bible and the time period of the Bible, it's not even close. The biblical account of the true creator, the biblical account of creation, is not like any other. And the God that we serve is the creator of all, that he created again ex nihilo, out of nothing. And all that he has created, he sustains and he rules and he governs. And I think it's really important for us to read Genesis 2:2 together. This is what it says. By the seventh day, talking about after God had gone through creation, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested. And friends, he wasn't resting because he was exhausted. He was resting because he was finished. And this is an important point. That God, after he created and rested, he didn't have to worry about his authority or status being taken away. Like he didn't have to worry if another deity or God was going to come for his authority and try to take it from him, and he'd have to fight to defend his honor. He alone is God. And after he created everything, he rested on his throne to rule in sovereignty and holiness. So when you look at Genesis 2:2 and you see that our God rested, Not because he was tired. He rested on his throne, and there's not going to be anybody to come and try to fight him for status or power, because he alone is God, the eternal God who created everything out of nothing. All these other gods who were creating out of warring with one another, I assume that if one of the Egyptian gods would have got the upper hand and beat everybody else, he definitely couldn't rest after that, could he? He'd have to be vigilant. He'd have to be standing there waiting for the next God who's going to come to attack him. God of Israel, our God, rested on the seventh day on his throne because there is no other God. There is no other creator. Creation is a beautifully, theologically important thing for us to hold on to. And we hold that the creation account is not fictional or symbolic or anything like that. We belong to the God of the universe who always existed and out of absolute nothingness created everything ex nihilo. And he is on his throne and he is in control and nobody can compare to him. So for the sake of time, those are the things I wanted to share with you guys. And if you want more information on that, if you want to let me know, I'll let you know where I got these information and references and sources, and I can get those to you if you want them. But guys, this should draw us to worship. I mean, just think about it. Nobody can do what our God does. Nobody has done what our God has done, and nobody will do anything that our God will do in the future. We worship the one and only true God, and he is our creator. Look at the world around you. Look at everything. He has created all of that. And even the greatest things that mankind has built, they've always had to use pre-existing materials. And all those materials God made. This is his creation, and God alone is the creator. Let this truth about creation deepen your affection for God and his work. So that's our first word, creation. And I hope it's driving you towards affection and love for God. I have a challenge for you guys. We're going to be including challenges in each of these episodes. And my challenge for you guys is to read Genesis 1 and 2. Focus on the creation account. See that he created out of nothing. And see that he is on his throne in authority. And see that everything belongs to him and no one else. See that he is the one and only true God of the universe. So read Genesis 1 and 2. And my other challenge for you, get up a little earlier. Go outside and look at that sunrise. Don't stare directly at the sun. That's not good. You guys know that. But get up a little earlier. Go outside and you watch that sunrise. And you proclaim that there is no one else like our God. In the evening, get off of your TV, get off of your phone, put that aside, go out with your family, and you watch that sunset, and you see the rays, and see how the clouds are painted different colors, and I just want you to worship God and exclaim in front of everybody that there is no one like our God. For those of you who don't know, my wife and I are expecting our second child. And it's all the creation of God. It is all God who is creating. I don't even know if it's a boy or a girl yet. But God is creating and forming in my wife's womb life. And as I look at the sunset and the sunrise with you, as I read Genesis 1 and 2 with you, as I look at that baby that God has for us, I will be right with you in worship and affection, claiming that there is no one else like our God. He is the creator. This is his creation, and we are living in that. And one day, as I said in Philippians 2, one day every tongue will confess and every knee will bow, and everybody will proclaim that God is God to his glory. I hope this has been good for you. Thank you, guys. We're excited about this worship podcast series. I encourage you, if you have a word that you want to know more about, let us know and we'll try to address it in our podcast. We'll have to be creative and probably make it into a word that ends with ION, but that's okay. We're excited to do that. If you have a word, let us know. But may we every single day, and may we with every single episode, grow in our affection and worship for God. It's been good being with you guys. This is Tyler from The Connection Point signing off. Blessings. On behalf of First Southern Baptist Church Salina, thank you so much for listening to our podcast today. If you have any questions, if you have any prayer requests, or you want to know more about the gospel of Jesus Christ, we would love to have you contact us. You can email me at tball@fsbcsalina.com. And if you don't have a church home, we would love for you to join us on Sunday mornings. Our Sunday school is at 9 a.m. and our worship service is at 10:30 a.m. If you want to know more about the church, you can visit us at our website at www.fsbcsalina.com. Again, thanks for joining us today, where we desire to know Christ and to make Him known. Blessings.